From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Cameron Byerly, reading Charlie and the Sir by Frank Rodarus. Now, let's begin with Chapter 1.
You'd think a fella'd learn to take his own advice. Why, I don't know how many youngsters I've advised, those that were damn fool enough to want to leave the comfort of their mamas and go off to make a hand of themselves, to put their concentration on the workings of the bovine mind, and let the human type take care of itself. To just plain butt out, in fact, on anything that don't have to do with the job. I still think that's pretty good advice. And maybe someday I'll learn to take it myself. Maybe. The way I hooked up with this sir, for instance, I just wasn't following my own rules for getting along. It was down in Cheyenne. You probably know the place. Grass country. Big grass. Enough of it to feed half the steers in the known world, and right there astraddle of the UP tracks this rip-snorter of a town where spurs are just naturally part of a man's attire, and won't no one look down on him if he smells a little of horse sweat and wood smoke. I like Cheyenne. I was there this time because I'd hired on with John Hanks to help him drive a herd of stalkers, mostly twos and coming threes, up from the Lana River country. We delivered him to a stubborn old fossil who was rebuilding after the big die-up of the past winter, and I got paid off at Bosler. The trail crew split up there, looking for a blowout or looking for more work or just plain looking. Wasn't all that much work to be had from horseback. Country right then being short on cows after the die-up and therefore long on unemployed hands. I don't know what happened to the other boys. Me? I drifted down towards Cheyenne. Like I said, I like the place. So I was there doing some serious loafing until some work opened up. And this particular afternoon, I kind of wandered down to the UP depot. Watching the puffers come in is a fair entertainment, and there's always the chance that some young lady will get caught beside a vent and have to scramble to keep her skirts from flying high. So I picked me out a soft-looking bench, gave my hat a tilt so as it wouldn't be obvious where I was looking, and settled in for a bit. The early afternoon westbound was something of a disappointment. The only ladies that got off was of the shady variety, and they don't count for ankle-watching even if the engineer did blow off a puff of steam at the right moment and got a couple of them a-squealing. Still, I'm nothing if not a stayer. So I sat where I was till the westbound was offloaded and reloaded and pulled onto a siding so the afternoon eastbound could get to the platform, too. Pickens was kind of slim on that one, too, and I believe I rested my eyes a moment or two after the passengers were off. Next thing I paid attention to, the baggage handlers had some of those little wheeled carts down at the far uncovered end of the platform. I noticed that they and a gaggle of those damned brakemen was giving a hurrowing to some skinny, fancy-dressed fella down there. Now, I know better than to nose into other folks' business. I really do, as I've tried to explain. But this poor little fella was looking like he needed some help, and anyway, I never cared much for railroad men in general or for brakemen in particular. I don't know if you noticed this, but they are a rough-talking, rough-acting crowd. They always seem to herd up together. One of them will start something, then the next one thinks he's got to top that, and you never know where they'll end up. Loud bunch, too, braggers, even though, or maybe because, they got so little to brag about. Well, anyways, a bunch of them was gathered around this skinny fella and giving him the hoorah, making fun of his kit, which looked to be taking up two whole baggage carts all by itself, poking some fun at him, too. Now, I gotta admit that the man was dressed odd. From top to bottom, he looked different. Up top, he had on this silly-looking hard hat
Sample complete. Ready to continue?